Those tests include the Wisconsin card sorting test, the Stroop color word interference test. You may have heard of some of these if you have dealt with these kinds of cases before. The Tower of London test, it's also sometimes called the Tower of Hanoi. Cognitive estimates tests, and most subtests of the Dulles-Kaplan executive functioning system, which is just a whole series of executive functioning tests. So these are good neuropsychological tests for many purposes. They're very well validated tests, and they're excellent for many purposes in neuropsychology, but they're not good for traumatic brain injury. So if a legal case relies on these tests, the Wisconsin, the Stroop, the Tower tests, etc., to say that someone's not disabled because they score well on these tests, then it's not a solid case. So you cannot use tests that are not sensitive to traumatic brain injury to claim that the person doesn't have any disability following traumatic brain injury. Now, all of the cognitive tests that I've talked about here are what I call performance-based measures. They're tests that require someone to show you that they can solve a problem using memory or using the ability to switch attention between tasks. So the person has to perform. They have to use their abilities to do the test. They're nice, objective, scientifically validated tests. So, how are patients' problems with social judgment usually measured? Well, right now they're not usually measured objectively. They're just assessed using psychologists' qualitative impressions. So, for instance, the patient was socially inappropriate. They might also use qualitative reports from the patient's friends and family members. Now imagine trying to test IQ that way. Well, his wife says he's pretty smart, and I talked to him, and he seems smart to me. It wouldn't fly. But we let that pass for assessing social problems. Now, I do want to say a caveat here. I do think that those are really valuable things, because even your own social impressions interacting with the person can tell you if there's something socially off about them. And the friends and family members are really going to have a very rich sample of social behavior to draw on when they make an assessment. But just because we should include those qualitative things doesn't mean we should limit our assessment of social deficits to those qualitative measures. We should have objective measures too. Another way that social judgment and behavior problems are assessed in traumatic brain injury patients is by using questionnaires, either filled out by the patient, it's called a self-report, or by someone close to the patient, a friend or family member, spouse. It usually doesn't work in traumatic brain injury to have the patient do their own self-report questionnaire. In moderate to severe traumatic brain injury, often people do not have insight into their own social deficits, so you're not necessarily going to get an accurate report. Plus, a self-report isn't going to hold up well as objective evidence in a hearing or a trial. So having a questionnaire filled out by someone else works better. But best of all, and certainly in addition to everything else listed here, is to assess social deficits just like you would the cognitive problems that these patients have. Use well-validated tests with solid scientific evidence behind them. Use tests that require the person to solve a social problem by using their social judgment. Now, researchers are working towards being able to develop a lot of different kinds of tests of social competences, sort of maybe they could all be put together into a social IQ test. There are a lot of measures that have been developed in research in social neuroscience, and some have been well enough validated to meet forensic standards. So they've got the good solid scientific evidence behind them and population norms to compare them to. You always want to be able to compare how someone does to how healthy people without brain damage in their same age and demographic bracket would do. So one test is called the TACIT. You can see the acronym up there. That stands for the Awareness of Social Inference Test. Now what happens here is that a patient watches videos of people interacting spontaneously. And in one test, they watch the videos and they have to say what emotion the person is feeling. So that's a test of emotion recognition. How well can they tell what someone else is experiencing emotionally? And in two other tests, the patient has to say whether the person was speaking sincerely or being sarcastic or lying. And on those tests, there's sort of an easy and a hard version of the sarcasm tests. So these measures on the TACIT, these three subtests, are sensitive to traumatic brain injury. They are very well correlated with the patient's outcomes, how they function. And they're also correlated with the ratings of the patient's social skills. And there are norms available. So that is one good objective test that can be used. Another one is the Profile of Functional Impairment in Communication, or the PFIC. Sorry for all the acronyms. It's just something people do in their own field of study. So I've at least tried to translate them for you on your handout. So a lot of traumatic brain injury patients' social inappropriateness, as I noted earlier, it shows up in conversation. So they don't take turns. They say things that just don't seem relevant at all to what is being talked about. They don't necessarily listen well or attend well to the other person in the conversation. So what happens on the Profile of Functional Impairment in Communication is that the patient's filmed having a spontaneous conversation, and then clinicians watch the video and rate the patient's communication, not just what they say, but how socially appropriate their conversation is. Again, this is well validated for sensitivity to traumatic brain injury. It was developed specifically for use in traumatic brain injury, and it's been used in several studies that look at the effectiveness of rehabilitation programs, so it seems to be well correlated with patients' outcomes. The FCS is the Functional Communication Scale. It's just someone's attempt to come up with something that's like the PFIC, but a little bit shorter. It's the same thing. Clinicians are rating a video of the patient's conversation. It's not as well validated, but it is out there. It's available, and it's certainly better than not using anything objective to assess the patient. Now, with some colleagues of mine, I developed a test called the Recognition of Faux Pas test, the test whether patients can tell whether something's been said that's inappropriate. There are lots of studies by me and other research groups showing that this test is sensitive to traumatic brain injury, and that the social deficits that this test measures, the deficits in social judgment, are stable over time, so they don't necessarily improve so much over time. What we don't have published yet are norms for how a large number of neurologically healthy people do on this test, so it doesn't quite meet forensic standards. Right now, it's just a supplemental measure that can be used in a neuropsych evaluation. Now, I'll give you references to all of these tests and articles about them at the end of the PowerPoint presentation here. The take-home message is that if you have an expert witness who's assessing your traumatic brain injury clients, they should be using objective measures of social judgment problems. There are tests available. Almost none of the neuropsych evaluations being done with traumatic brain injury patients now include objective measures of social functioning, of social deficits. So that needs to happen. If a neuropsychologist says there isn't time because the assessment's already several hours long, maybe they could make more time to include some objective social assessments by dropping some of the cognitive tests that are not sensitive to traumatic brain injury. If they say they don't assess social deficits with objective tests because we don't have any measures like that, you can give them the relevant references and get your clients the right kind of assessment. Now, finally, no discussion of psychological assessment in traumatic brain injury, or really in any condition, would be complete without talking about malingering. Anytime someone stands to gain financially or getting out of work or however, by getting a ruling of disability, there's the possibility that he or she may try to appear more disabled than he or she really is, that they won't put out their full effort in psychological testing. So this is called malingering, or feigned impairment, or suspect effort. Usually you would think of this as being conscious and deliberate, but we don't really try to assess what the person's intentions are. We just look at their performance to see whether or not they might be malingering.